Got your Bibles, turn to the book of Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4 for our thoughts. Matthew chapter 4, beginning with verse 12. Now when Jesus had heard that John was cast into prison, he departed into Galilee. And leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is upon the sea coast in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, "The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by way of the sea beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. And the people which sat in darkness saw great light, and to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up." And from that time Jesus began to preach and to say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I love you and praise you. I thank you for this opportunity to share your word this morning. And dear God, just bring to my memory those things studied. Let me say those things you've laid upon my heart. Speak to your congregation. And Lord, if there's one amongst us that doesn't know you, pray that they'll be saved before it's too late. You've heard the prayer requests. Lord, we just seek that your precious will be done with each of these requests. I thank you for those that have come, each home represented, those that have gathered, Lord, today to worship you. And Lord, we want to worship you this morning in spirit and in truth. We thank you again for the many blessings. We just ask that everything that we say and do this morning, may it bring honor and glory to you. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. The text we've just read is pretty much the beginning of the Lord's ministry. Understand that he was baptized by John in the River Jordan. The Father affirmed his baptism and his ministry by saying, "Behold, this is my Son, in whom I'm well pleased." After being baptized, of course, he was led into the wilderness to be tempted for 40 days and 40 nights. And by the way, he triumphed. Wasn't easy, but by God's grace, the Father saw him through and he came out of that. Now he's beginning his public ministry. And his ministry, for one reason and one reason only, it was to live a perfect, sinless life, work his way to the cross to provide atonement for the sins of the world. So he's beginning his ministry. Now, news comes, we read in verse 12 that John had been arrested. Jerusalem. Why was he arrested? Because of his message. You see, he was preaching about the Lord, the Messiah, the Christ. And he was also preaching what a lot of people don't like hearing today as well, repentance. And it got him put in prison. Now, notice Jesus left Nazareth, which is in the region of Jerusalem, to go to Capernaum. And there's a reason for that. Jesus went to where the people were and where the people would have a chance of responding. You know, I remember when we came out here, coming from the Bible Belt, coming from Arkansas, where we have one of our churches on every corner. I remember preacher friends of mine saying, "Why in the world would you go to that godforsaken place out there? That's Sin City. Aren't we supposed to preach to sinners?" Yeah. But boy, they like their hunting and their fishing preacher. You know how that is. Anyways, notice with me, it says, "And leaving Nazareth, he came into Capernaum, which is upon the sea coast in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtali." And again, basically that's Galilee, folks. That was basically his home headquarters. That's where he ministered. But the reason he ministered there was because there was lots of people there to minister to. And there was another reason. You see, the Lord always did everything with a purpose. Amen? Now, I know when you start reading, you say, well, really, those verses, are they really significant? Well, of course, because it's God's Word. And there's always purpose. You see, His purpose was not that He was afraid to preach in Jerusalem because He might end up like John the Baptist. No, there was people to reach with the gospel. And He had to reveal Himself that He was the Christ. He was the Messiah. He was that light sent into the dark world. And that's why He left. Now, I know Matthew gives us a little bit about the borders of Zebulun and Naphtali. Do you understand that this was a prophecy that was fulfilled by Christ? 750 years, but it's finally fulfilled. And let me just say, when Jesus was here the first time, He fulfilled all prophecy. And when Jesus comes back, He will fulfill the Word of God. Understand, He's coming back to set up His kingdom. Now, the Jews back then thought of a physical kingdom. They thought that Jesus would set up a kingdom and the Romans would be kicked out, their enemies. But Jesus wasn't talking about a physical kingdom. He was talking about the spiritual kingdom. But listen, there are qualifications in order to be in that kingdom. And first and foremost, you have to recognize that Jesus Christ is the light. Jesus Christ is the Messiah. And He is the only one. Secondly, we have to be made righteous. You see, the Jews thought if they did this and they did that, kept this feast and made this sacrifice, that they were okay with God. But beloved, that's no. There must be cleansing. A person must be declared righteous. You and I can't do it. Christ has to do it for us. And by being declared righteous, then and only then can we be reconciled to God and allowed to be in that kingdom during the millennial reign. And another reason the millennial's here and we don't preach about it or teach like we should is that's when the Jews are going to be restored, during the millennial reign. The Lord keeps His covenant. Now, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, "Does the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali by way of the sea beyond Jordan, Galilee, and of the Gentiles?" Again, it was a prophecy that was fulfilled. In fact, you'll find it in Isaiah chapter 9. I thought Brother Bill was going to go over there for a second. I thought, huh. But that's what it was talking about. Because you see, you got to understand when you read, and by the way, just don't take one verse. You need to read a couple chapters before and a couple chapters after so that you have the full context of what's being said. Understand this morning that over there, the Assyrians would come through that region and invade Judah. And understand that when they would come through, they would destroy everything. They would take them captive. They would kill them. They would have them bow down and worship false gods. And believe it or not, the people willingly turned from the true and living God and bowed before false gods. They would go and they would pay money to have sorcerers speak to the dead for them, asking them what their future was. Well, can I tell you something? When it concerns the future, I can save you a lot of money. Because I already know what the future holds. Jesus is coming back for His redeemed. Those of us that know Jesus as our Savior are saved and we're going to spend eternity in heaven. Those of us that don't accept Him and reject Him are going to spend eternity in hell. They're your future. Amen? There it is. But people would be led by the Assyrians to commit sins against their own God. And beloved, that's why the Word tells us that they sat in darkness. But thank God for the light. Amen? Thank God for the light. Notice. And the people which sat in darkness saw great light. Now, understand, all of us, from that period up till right here and right now, all of us came into the world in darkness. We were blind to our sins. We were blind to God's plan of sending His only begotten Son into the world to redeem us as the Christ, as the Savior. We were blind and sat in darkness. But again, God sent the light. And that light was His Son. Understand, darkness. And man today, 2,000 years plus, are still in darkness because, one, they don't want to recognize who Christ is. What a shame. You understand He's the answer for every problem. He's the answer to every question we could ever ask. He's the answer. But yet, like the Bible says, He came into His own, and His own received Him not. In fact, turn over to John real quick, and we'll come back. And by the way, y'all are in for a treat today. I ain't going to keep you too long. But look at John chapter 1. Let me share something with you. Look at verse 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt amongst us. And we beheld His glory, and the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Amen. And then, let me turn over there. I'll find it here in a minute. Philippians chapter 2. Turn over there too. And then we'll go back to our text. Philippians chapter 2. Look at verse 6 with me. Who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made Himself of no reputation and took upon Him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, what did He do? He humbled Himself and became obedient unto the cross, even the death of the cross. You see, God sent His Son into the world one purpose, and that was to redeem us, make atonement for us, and reconcile us to God. Make us righteous before Him. Because we're sinners. And because we're sinners, we are at enmity with God. We are separated from God. And the only way we can be made right before God, accepted of God, reconciled to God, is through salvation. And that salvation comes only through Jesus Christ. And you all know that. And I'm glad you do. Don't ever, ever change your view on that. There is only one way. There is only one Messiah. One Savior. Christ Jesus the Lord. Go back to our text, please. Notice, again, this is the start of the Lord's ministry. Notice what it says. And the people which sat in darkness saw great light. Well, who was that light? Jesus Christ. To them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up. Shadow of death. Not physical death. We're talking spiritual death. But because of the light that sprung up, they had the opportunity to what? Be saved. Be saved. Now, look at the Lord's message. And by the way, I think we are to preach the same message He did. We shouldn't change that message. Even though many want to change the message so we can get more people in, we can please more people, we can change our demographics by entertaining people. And let me just say, there's nothing wrong with demographics. In fact, you got to have them in ministry, and I understand that. The problem with our churches today is we depend too much on demographics. Listen, this church is here. This, right here, is our Jerusalem. Now, listen to me, what I'm fixing to say. And this is our Jerusalem, and this is where we're comfortable. We don't mind sharing the gospel in our Jerusalem, but it's not about Jerusalem. Don't get so comfortable with Jerusalem that you don't think you need to go to Judah or Samaria or the uttermost parts of the earth. Because that's what's happening today. We're only going to focus on this. And let me say, the business of God for Lone Mountain Baptist Church is getting the gospel to people. That's the business. That's the only reason we're here. Yes, we worship Him. How's He worship? Listen, God is glorified with every soul we win to Him. Because we're doing the Great Commission. Now, notice it says, and from that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent. If you want to throw cold water on somebody that you're trying to share the gospel with, mention that word, repent. You see, people don't want to hear about their sin. They don't want to be told that they need to repent. But beloved, according to the Word of God, repentance is necessary for salvation. Listen, you can't be saved until you recognize the fact you're a sinner. Amen? And believe me, we were all born sinners. Therefore, we need to repent. And the message that Christ began to preach when He started His ministry was to repent. And as I said, people don't like that. Don't tell me I'm a sinner. I'm as good as everybody up there at that church. Sure you are. Because we're all sinners. Just like you, the only difference is we're saved sinners. You're a lost sinner. But we're sinners. And all of us that are saved sinners had to come to the place when we were convicted by the Holy Spirit to repent and to turn from our wicked ways and to start down a new path following Christ. That's what repentance is. You admit you're a sinner, you repent of it, you confess it, ask the Lord to forgive, and then you turn from it and follow the path of the Savior. That's repentance. So, what was this message? Repent. Would you agree with me this morning? The greatest need in the world today is repentance. Yeah. Repentance. The world has lots of ills. And boy, there needs to be some help. But the world needs to repent before its God. Now, notice what he said. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. You see, we have to repent. And, of course, he's talking about the kingdom of heaven. Again, there's a physical kingdom and a spiritual kingdom, and I'm waiting for the spiritual one. Now, we that have trusted Christ as our Savior, we're placed in the body of Christ. And we will spend eternity in that kingdom. But it's not going to be set up on earth until he comes back. Okay? But the kingdom of heaven was at hand then because the light was presented. Christ is the light of the world. He is the light. And even though the Jewish religionists of that day and others didn't recognize him as that true light, that Messiah, that Savior, it didn't change the fact God kept his word, went to the plan that him and Christ and the Holy Spirit spoke about before the foundation of the world, and sent him at the right time to the right place for the right reason so that he might redeem us. Now, it's mind-boggling. I still to this day can't understand why God would love his creation the way he loves us. And it's not just he loves us when we're at our best. He loves us when we're at our worst. You know why? Because he's truly, and I want y'all to get this. It's because, yes, only his love is everlasting, but he's in love with us. 63 years. You think they love one another? They have to. They have to. It's because my brother's in love with Sister Janelle. She's in love with him. Well, it's the same way with God and his children. He's in love with us. It is, sister. It's mind-boggling. But I thank God for the light. The Lord sent the light. Just as it was prophesied, the light would come. And it came. And as the Lord began his ministry, as he went about preaching, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. As he went about healing folks, performing miracles, it was all about the light. Because he is the only light. I pray you've seen the light. I'm thankful I've seen the light. If you've trusted him as your Savior, you've seen the light. But there's still a lot of people sitting in darkness. Just like when he came and began his ministry. They were in darkness. But the light came to bear witness that he was that true. So I'm going to close by just simply asking, has there been a time in your life that the Lord has revealed his light to you? If there's been that time, praise God. And you are to praise him and worship him and thank him. But there's never been that time in your life, then I would ask you come. He loves you. He proved it when he died. And I thank God every day. Sometimes I close my eyes and I lean back in my recliner and I just picture him on the cross. And, you know, he's not recognizable as far as a face. No, I can't give you. Well, he had a beard down to here. He had hair down to his backside. And by the way, those pictures where Jesus had long hair, let me go ahead and tell you something. No. He didn't have hair down to his backside. Just FYI. Understand, though, when I think about him dying on the cross and I see that old hammer driving those nails into his hands and his feet, and I can see people wagging their fingers in his face, spitting on him and mocking him. And when I say I see people, I see the Roman soldier, I see myself doing that to him. But then I see him while he's hanging on the cross, calling out to my Father and your Father, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. And I see him literally dying for our sins. And then them burying him. And what I'm thankful for, that's not the end of the story. Because you see, 3 days later, the stone was rolled away and he came out of that tomb. That tomb is empty today. Listen to me. Because he came out of that tomb, we have salvation and eternal life guaranteed. And I can only say glory to God. And even though I'm ashamed that it was my sin that did it to him, praise God, he died for me. And he rose. I have experienced light because he's that light. What about you?